Welcome to this month's episode of Fraud Talk. I'm Mandy Moody, the ACFE social media specialist. And today I will be talking to Eric Feldman about bad things that can happen to good companies. Eric is the managing director of corporate ethics and compliance programs at Affiliated Monitors. And welcome, Eric.
Thank you very much, Mandy.
So we're going to be talking, you know, about company culture and ethics and tone at the top. A lot of this is what you have spoken about before at our seminars and our conferences, and really a topic that doesn't ever, you know, get old. Tell me, what is a company culture? You know, what does it look like? Where do you see it pop up?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you were to ask any CEO of a company, what is their corporate culture like? They will likely articulate to you what they think it is, what they hope it is. And there are few people in C-suites of companies around the country that don't think that their company is ethical and committed to integrity and doing the right thing. But the reality is, when you get down to the bottom of the organization, the first-line supervisors, the mid-level managers, the folks who are actually doing the work, and you ask them what motivates them, how do they make decisions? Do they really buy into the company's core values of ethics and integrity, which most companies have? You often get a very different answer based on the unintentional consequences of things that the company has done, said, or expected from their employees. So corporate culture is really the reality of what is happening on the ground, how things are really done in our company, and what motivates people. Is it doing the right thing? Is it money and financial metrics? Is it well-balanced? Or does it tip to one side, financial metrics versus ethics? And that's what we try to get at when we go into companies.
When you're working with the C-suite and, you know, creating an anti-fraud program with companies, setting a tone at the top, are you able to teach the executive teams things like ethics and, you know, compliance? Yes, it can be taught, you know, you follow these rules, but do you think that's something you're able to teach and pass on, to which they're able to teach and pass on in their company?
Yes, I think you can do that. That the most effective training in ethics and compliance, in my view, is training that is cascaded down the organization. You know, you can get everybody in the company together once a year and, you know, have this massive shutdown, which some of the big corporations do, and lecture to them. You can have people do online training, pressing the buttons and answering questions once a year. And I don't mean to demean that. That has its value in getting information out to a widely dispersed workforce, particularly effective with multinationals. But there's nothing like hearing a commitment about ethics and compliance from your immediate manager. And the best way to do that is to start at the top. And by the top, I don't just mean the executives, I mean the board. And so we do training often with boards of directors, not to teach them how to be ethical, because that's something that, yes, you learn outside of the corporate setting. But the training is about what we as a company are committed to and how we make good ethical decisions. There's a real difference between changing somebody's thought process on ethics, which you can't do, and it's based often on religion and morality and all these other things that really have no place in business, versus what we expect when you walk in the doors of my workplace. What behavior can I expect of you? That you can guide and dictate. And the cascading training is done from the top down to the board, and then the board to the executives, and the executives down to subordinate managers, and it flows through the organization. It has a tremendous effect.
So what is an example you've seen, or maybe a story you can tell of where tone at the top really works and you've seen it benefit a company with real results?
I'll start with a negative example. Okay, we went to work in a company that was a is a very large government service provider, and they were under investigation by the Department of Justice, and the legal team decided that they needed an assessment of their corporate ethical culture and ethics and compliance. And interestingly, when we went out and did interviews and focus groups of people within the company, we had employees that were administrative personnel, mailroom people, secretaries, low-level clerks and IT people that were talking about the imperative of EBITDA and how the company needed to increase its EBITDA, which as a former federal employee, I didn't even know what that was. It's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Now, why should somebody at that low level of the organization be so concerned with EBITDA? And the reason is the tone at the top was all about the financial metrics. They were consumed with financial metrics and the senior executives getting their bonus this year. And they were willing to do anything, including cutting corners, to make that happen because that's what the executive tone was about. And that skewed the entire ethical culture of the company. It became a disaster. Now, I've been in other companies, for example, I was at a doing some work in a federal construction contractor in the Pacific Northwest. They were suspended by one of the federal agencies for a very arcane violation of something called the Buy American Act. One of their subcontractors bought some steel that had an Indian source, and that was a violation. And then, as a result, the government wanted us to look at the corporate ethical culture and see if they had a good ethics program. Well, the fact is, they had really no ethics program, and they needed to build one, and that's a requirement if you want to be a government contractor. But when we looked at the ethical culture of the company, even though they had no ethics program, it all started with a senior leader, with the president of the company, who it was his family business, and he talked about ethics and integrity all the time. And in a very difficult, often unethical industry dealing with dredging contracts, he was sort of the light about we are going to do this the right way, and if we don't make money on a contract, so be it. We're thinking big picture. And that attitude permeated down to the very bottom of the organization, where even the construction workers who are out there digging ditches and out there on the tractors every day told me during focus groups that we represent this company, and when we go out at night into our little town, we have to be polite and act in an appropriate way because that could affect our business development. That really is what you want in your company. Employees at the very bottom of the organization who care enough about the company to set a good example and to ensure that their own behavior and everything they do is ethical. That's tone at the top.
That's awesome. I guess you've already answered this. Did you have one bad habit that you see a lot? Or is it always different? Kind of comes in different shapes.
Sure. Things are always different, because companies are different and their cultures are different. But one of the common themes that we often see that people don't think about is you can say that your core value of your company is, ethics and integrity, and most companies have that. But how do you align those statements and core values with things like performance management? And if they're not aligned, you've got a problem. And by alignment, I mean, we say ethics is important to the company, but what do I measure you on? How do I determine whether you're going to get a bonus this year? How do I determine if you're eligible for promotion next year? If all the criteria in your performance appraisals and promotions is financial metrics, and there's nothing to balance it in terms of that ethical behavior, then you're not putting your money where your mouth is, and you're not reinforcing ethical behavior. You see, most employees want to do the right thing, but you've got to create the kind of supportive environment where it's easy for them to do the right thing, and it's supported.
What about companies, you know, how do you get your board or your C-suite to even want to take a look at your company and what that perceived culture is versus the realistic culture? Because, you know, I've worked for some companies in the past where they don't even want to know, really. You know, they'd rather think everything's going okay. So do you have any tips for maybe the managers or the directors or people out there that want to take a look at this and want their board and their C-suite to see it?
You talk about all this stuff theoretically, and it's all very nice, but why do I give a damn? You know, why should I take my head out of the sand, which a lot of these boards are, you know, have their head in the sand and don't even want to ask the question for fear of finding out? Why should they care? And it's the relationship between ethical culture and employee misconduct. And there's a very strong relationship, and there's data to show this, that companies with strong ethical cultures have lower levels of misconduct. Companies with strong ethical cultures have employees who more frequently will report through a fraud hotline misconduct going on in the company. And the motivation is you as a board member have personal responsibility for what goes on in that company. And given all of the new laws that are out there and more highly enforced laws, from everything from Foreign Corrupt Practices Act to the Wall Street Reform Act, which Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act, which has a requirement for a whistleblower provision, most companies now are in competition with the SEC for the loyalty of their employees coming forward. Because an employee can go to the SEC and get a bounty if they report misconduct in the company that materially affects the financial statements. So you want your employees to feel comfortable coming to you. So the most important thing is for you to understand the culture, understand what needs to be done to strengthen it, so you don't end up on the wrong side of a federal enforcement action. And this is where the deterrent effect of federal law enforcement in going after companies really makes a big difference. And there's been a huge uptick in FCPA cases, in False Claims Act cases, in all kinds of suspension and debarment activity for federal contractors. And all the regulators across the country are becoming much more aggressive in enforcement. That really is the motivator for boards to get, you know, off the dime and say, maybe we need to do something proactive to determine whether, you know, we're at risk here. What is our risk of a problem?
Something you and I have talked about in the past, and I've sat in on many of your sessions, is kind of the teaching of ethics early on. You often use stats from college exams and high school exams of how many people are prone to cheat. Do you think ethics is being properly taught, and are we seeing a shift now that, you know, the younger generation is demanding more transparency with social media, with, you know, people are coming out and saying when fraud's going on or saying when somebody's doing something wrong?
Well, unfortunately, we're not seeing much of a shift. And in fact, it's much more of the same. You know, the statistics on student cheating at high school level, college, graduate school, are still really unacceptable. And there's sort of an inconsistency there, because these same people in this generation that are saying it's okay to cheat because I have to compete in a highly difficult competitive environment are the same people that want to work for ethical companies. And you kind of wonder, you know, what they're thinking. And I think it has less to do with teaching ethics early on than it does the example that we're setting as a society. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have the 2008 economic meltdown that almost brought the entire world to its knees, and no one has gone to jail for anything that these companies did, and certainly by any measurement, many of the financial services companies and others were engaged in absolutely unethical conduct. No one was held accountable. And the message that sends to our youth is that really anything goes, and that the worst that could happen to me is a slap on the wrist and I move on. And that is sad. And until we change that, I don't think that much is going to change in terms of these cheating statistics. I really don't. And that puts more pressure on companies and ethics and compliance and anti-fraud programs to at least regulate behavior when people come into the company. Because we're dealing with the generation of people that really are flawed when it comes to ethical decision making. They need to be taught what that means within the context of their jobs within a company.
So what is your ultimate hope or your ultimate goal, or, you know, the biggest thing you want companies to take away when you're consulting them?
My biggest hope is that they take away the return on investment associated with strong anti-fraud programs and strong ethics and compliance programs. That this is not just a government requirement and something we have to do because the government says we have to do it. That this is a way to make us more effective and more profitable long term. And until they get that message and are willing to invest and act proactively to constantly reassess what their culture looks like, constantly reassess how effective all of the things they're doing under their ethics and compliance programs, how effective those things are with their employees, and they constantly make changes, until they get to that point, they're putting themselves at a level of fraud risk that is really unacceptable. If I were a board member or an investor in that company, I would consider it unacceptable. So I'm hoping they really understand the value of this stuff to their bottom line, that this isn't just a nice to have and a nice to do.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Eric.
Thank you very much, Mandy.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Fraud Talk. I'm Mandy Moody, signing off. You can find more podcasts at acfe.com/podcast. See you next month.